Chapter 33, Beelzebub as Professional Hypnotist. Beelzebub resumed his tale as follows. When I existed among your favorites as a professional hypnotist, I carried out my experiments on their psyche, chiefly by means of that particular state which contemporary beings there call the hypnotic state. To bring them into this state, I had recourse, at first, to the same means used by the beings of the Ticklyamishian civilization for this purpose. That is to say, I acted upon them with my own Handblendzoin. But later, as the being impulse called love of kind frequently arose in my common presence, I had to produce this state in a great many three-brain beings there, not only for my personal aims, but for their benefit as well. And since this proved to be very harmful for my being existence, I invented another means by which I obtained the same effect without the expenditure of my own Hamblet-Zoin. My invention, which I immediately put into practice, consisted in inducing a rapid change in the extent of the filling of the blood vessels, which I mentioned, by a particular way of hindering the circulation in certain blood vessels. By means of this hindering, I was able, even while maintaining the mechanized tempo of the blood circulation of their waking state, to bring about, at the same time, the functioning of their real consciousness, that is, the one they call their subconscious. This new means of mind proved to be incomparably superior to the one still used today by the beings of your planet, which consists in making the person they hypnotize gaze at a shining object. Of course, it's possible, as I've already told you, to bring them into that psychic state by making them look fixedly at a shining object. But this method does not work with all beings there, far from it. And the reason for this is that even though fixing their gaze on a shining object may bring about a change in the extent of the filling of the blood vessels, the chief factor for this change must be their own intentional or automatic concentration of thought and feeling. And this concentration can only be obtained from an intense expectation or from a process taking place in them which they express by the word faith, or again, from the emotion of fear of something about to happen, or finally, from those passions whose functioning has become inherent in the presence of these beings, such as hate, love, sensuality, curiosity, and so on and so forth. That is why, in beings who are called hysterical, who have lost for a time, if not forever, the ability to concentrate their thought and feeling, it is impossible to bring about a change in the extent of the filling of the blood vessels by having them fix their gaze on a shining object, and hence it's impossible to induce the hypnotic state in them by this means. But with my invention, that is, a specific action upon the blood vessels themselves, it was possible to bring into this state not only anyone you please of these terrestrial three-brain beings, but even many one-brained and two-brain beings breeding there, as, for instance, various quadrupeds, fish, birds, and so on. As regards that impulse of love of kind which had led me to seek a new means of bringing your favorites into this state, which had by now become proper to them, it arose and gradually became dominant in me, chiefly because, during this period of my therapeutic activities, the ordinary three-brain beings of all castes everywhere soon began to love and respect me, regarding me almost as one sent from above to help them free themselves from their pernicious habits. In short, they began to manifest toward me their most sincere, almost genuine being impulse of Oskolniku, or as they say, appreciation and gratitude. Nor was it only those I saved and their closest relatives who showed this being, oskolniko, or gratitude toward me, but almost everyone who was in contact with me or heard of me in one way or another, with the sole exception of those professionals who were their physicians. These latter, on the contrary, hated me intensely and strained every nerve to impair the good feelings which ordinary beings had for me. And they hated me simply because I soon became their serious rival. To tell the truth, they had every reason to hate me, because only a few days after my therapeutic activities began, hundreds of patients attended my daily consultations, with hundreds of others knocking at the door, while my poor rivals had to sit for days on end in their famous consulting rooms, anxiously awaiting any odd patient who might stray in like a lost sheep. And they waited with such impatience for these lost sheep because some of them could be transformed into what are called milch cows, from which they milked, as was already customary there, that's something they called dough. In all fairness to them, however, it must be said that without this dough, it has become quite impossible to exist there in recent times, particularly for those contemporary three-brain beings who become famous physicians. And so, my boy, as I've already told you, I began my activities as a physician hypnotist in the center of the continent of Asia in various towns of Turkestan. I stayed first in towns of the part of Turkestan which was later called Chinese Turkestan, to distinguish it from that part which, after its conquest by the beings belonging to the large community of Russia, was named Russian Turkestan. In the towns of Chinese Turkestan, there was a great need for physicians of my specialty, because at that period there had developed more intensely than usual among the three-brain beings breeding on that part of the surface of your planet, two most pernicious organic habits which had become proper to them to acquire in their presence. One of these pernicious organic habits was the smoking of opium, and the other was the chewing of anasha, or as it is otherwise called, hashish. As you already know, they obtained this opium from the poppy plant, and hashish is extracted from a surplanetary formation called chakla, or hemp. And so, at this period of my activities, I existed at first mainly in various towns of Chinese Turkestan, but later on, circumstances so fell out that I preferred to stay in the towns of Russian Turkestan. Among the beings of Russian Turkestan, the first of these pernicious habits, or as they sometimes say, vices, namely the smoking of opium, was almost non-existent, and the chewing of anasha was even rarer. But, on the other hand, the uses of what is called Russian vodka was in full flower. This harmful product is obtained chiefly from the surplanetary formation called potato. From the use of vodka, just as from opium and anasha, not only does the psyche of these ill-fated three-brained beings become utterly gobbledygook, but in addition, certain important parts of their planetary body little by little degenerate completely. Here I may say that it was just at the beginning of these activities of mine among your favorites that in order to further my investigations of their psyche, I began keeping those statistics, which later so greatly interested certain very saintly cosmic individuals of the highest gradation of reason.